The reading is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Right now we are choking in an atmosphere of anxiety and despair. That's understandable for lots of reasons. We're in lockdown. We can't meet friends, family, church family. We dread turning on the news or looking at the paper to see things getting worse and worse. We've had to cancel good plans, including perhaps plans for today. Many of us are feeling isolated. Worst of all, we don't know how long it's all going to go on for. And it would be very easy to drown in the anxiety and despair. I was a bit like that on Thursday morning. I'd started my day off, my head was filled with all the bad stuff. But then in God's kindness, I had a sudden desire to listen to Christian songs on YouTube. And that lifted my gaze away from the situation to God, who is seated above all of this. You see, as Christians, we have lots of reasons to hope. And I don't mean take your brain out and pretend everything's fine kind of hope. There's no use in that, is there? I mean certain, assured confidence based on the truth and the reality we've become convinced of. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to share six reasons why Christians can be hopeful at this time. And I encourage you to stop and think about each one. Pause it as you go if you like. Look up the Bible verses in the week ahead and be encouraged for whatever the next few weeks and months may hold. So the first reason to have hope: our good and loving Father is in control. Our good and loving Father is in control. When something like this happens, it's easy, isn't it, to think God's lost control, that this is beyond him. And of course, the media don't help because they leave God out of the picture completely. Perhaps we think this is a nature thing, this is a science thing. Therefore, it's nothing to do with God. Several people have said to me recently, this is nature's way of getting back at us. Maybe, but that's not the whole picture. The Bible is clear that God is in control even over so-called natural events. Lamentations chapter 3, 37 and 38. Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Amos 3, 6. When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? And from our reading, verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Now, some of us might be offended by these words, but they're written to encourage us. God is in control. He's not having an off day. He's not being taken by surprise. He's still on his throne. As we heard in our reading, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The sea is a picture of chaos. Even if everything seems to fall into chaos, we will trust God. For as Adam Young reminded us last Sunday, our God is in heaven. He does everything he pleases. Psalm 115, verse 3. God is still in control. And as we'll see, that means he has good purposes that he's working out. We won't always understand what he's doing. Things won't often go the way we would like. Christians, as well as those who are not Christian, will suffer and die. Some already have. But God is in control. The first reason to have hope. Second reason, we can talk to our good and loving Father who is in control. We can talk to our good and loving Father who is in control. I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about the first four words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. This God who is in heaven, who is in control, this God is our good and loving Father. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it wonderful to know that however isolated some of us feel, however lonely, we have a good and loving Father who is with us. And we can talk to him. We can pray the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, give us our daily bread, deliver us from evil. We can bring our anxieties to him. As the Apostle Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful offer and a wonderful promise? I felt that peace this week as I've been concerned about my own at-risk condition of asthma, as I thought about my family around the world, my church family, as I've brought my anxieties to God, that peace has descended. And of course, he hears us, and he will answer us with good things. It might be the good thing we pray for. It might be a hard good thing. But he will answer. Are you worried about loved ones? Pray. Are you worried about catching coronavirus or if someone you love catching it? Well, pray. Are you worried about work or finances? Pray. Are you wondering what to do? Pray and spend time with your loving Heavenly Father. He loves it when we talk to him. And by the way, why not use some of this time of isolation simply to enjoy him? Think about some aspect of his character or a favorite Bible verse or listen to Christian music. Are you feeling completely isolated? Pray. And pray too for our emergency services, our government, scientists seeking to find a vaccine. We thank God for these people and all that they're doing. They're doing fantastic work and making enormous sacrifices. But they need our prayer. So the second reason to hope, we can talk to our good and loving Father who is in control. Third, God uses hardships to draw people to himself. God uses hardships to draw people to himself. In the West, we live very independent lives, don't we? People think everything's fine, we can do what we like, we can do it by ourselves, and we can ignore God. Isn't that the way it is around here? And yet, when something like this happens, suddenly we find we can't take anything for granted. It seems that everything we've relied on is being undermined. Our jobs, our finances, our health service, our pensions, the relationships we depend on, to name just a few. I found out the other day that the steroids that would usually be given for asthma symptoms might not respond to coronavirus. Another thing we depend on that's been taken away. Suddenly, as one newspaper headline put it, we realize just how dependent we really are. Jesus said lots of hard words. These are some of the hardest found in Luke chapter 13, 1-5. There were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." What's Jesus saying? He's saying that suffering, hard as it is, serves a purpose. Actually, more than one, as we'll see. And one purpose it serves is that it causes people to examine their lives. It causes people to ask the big questions. C.S. Lewis called suffering God's megaphone to a world that is ignoring him. As Christians, we believe that all that is happening now is nothing compared to what is to come. Judgment and condemnation for those who've ignored God all their lives will be far worse than coronavirus ever will be. And therefore, any suffering in life is a mercy calling people to turn back to God. And can I urge you, if you're not yet a Christian, turn back to God, a loving, forgiving, good Heavenly Father. Turn back before it's too late. God uses suffering to draw people to himself. And let's pray that he does, that he draws people across the world, across the UK, in the coming months and years. Third reason to have hope: God uses hardships to draw people to himself. The fourth reason: God uses hardships to strengthen Christians. He uses hardships to strengthen Christians. A few years ago at the Annaby churches, we looked at the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. You'll remember the story, immortalized by the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Joseph is Jacob's favorite, and Jacob makes him a coat of many colors. His brothers are jealous, and they sell him into slavery in Egypt and tell his father that he's dead. Joseph has a difficult life, working as a slave and then unjustly thrown into prison. But after many years, he's raised up to be the most powerful man in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And God uses him to save his brothers and the whole known world from starvation. At the end of the account, after their father dies, we find his brothers worried about how Joseph is going to treat them because of what they did to him all those years earlier. But here's what he says. Genesis chapter 50, 20 and 21. "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." Isn't that remarkable? Joseph was able to see the hand of God in all that had happened to him, working for his good and for the good of his people and the good of the world. And the God of Joseph is our God. He is working for the good of his people, those who are and who will become his people. Can we understand it right now? No. Are we angry with God? Well, perhaps some of us are. And by the way, the Bible doesn't condemn us being angry with God as long as we bring it to God and seek to deal with it in our relationship with him. Do we hate it when people glibly say God works all things for good to those who love him? Yes. But it's true. Just as one example, let me read from our family devotions on Friday morning. We're working through the Way of Wisdom, a year of daily devotions in the book of Proverbs written by Tim and Kathy Keller. And I do recommend it. I'm finding it works really well for families with children finding their way in the world. He's taken a digression to the book of Job, and here's what he writes about Job 35, 9-11. "A young man named Elihu gets up and tells off both Job and his friends. Elihu says, 'Through suffering, God can make us wiser than the birds in the sky. Suffering breaks our overconfidence. It shows us we've always been helpless and dependent on God. We just hadn't seen it until now. It brings out the worst in us. Haven't we seen that in recent days? And can show us personal flaws to which we'd been blind. It makes us more tender-hearted and understanding towards others, and it can teach you to love God for himself alone, not just for the things he gives you. One example of the fourth reason to have hope: God uses hardships to strengthen Christians. Two-thirds of the way there. Fifth reason: our greatest disease has been dealt with. Our greatest disease has been dealt with. We saw a few weeks ago, didn't we, when we looked at John 5, that all suffering, all disease, all natural disaster that we face in the world is indirectly going back to the start of the human race. Stopped. Disease has been dealt with. Our greatest disease has been dealt with. We saw a few weeks ago, looking at John chapter 5, that all suffering, all disease, all natural disaster that we face in the world is indirectly going right back to the first man and woman, a result of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, the first man and woman reject God's good rule, and the whole world becomes cursed. As God said, "Cursed is the ground because of you." Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And therefore we can say that every natural disaster, every tear, every experience of pain, every disease has indirectly been caused by a greater disease, the disease of sin. That's not to say, let me underline this, it's not to say that people who suffer more have sinned more. Our fourth point shows that that isn't the case, doesn't it? But it is to say that the disease of sin, of God rejecting, turning away from God, doing our own thing, which came into the world at the fall, and which affects every human being except Jesus Christ, is our greatest disease. But the wonderful news of Christianity is that for those trusting in Jesus and seeking to follow him, that greatest disease has been dealt with. In a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating Easter. We may not be able to get together physically. It's looking like we probably won't. But we will remember on Good Friday as Jesus, the God-man who had never sinned, hung on a cross, bearing all the punishment for our sin, taking it in his own body so that we don't have to. Jesus died so we might be forgiven, so we might be healed from our greatest disease and all its consequences. If we're trusting in Jesus, we've been freed from the penalty of sin, which is hell. We are freed from the power of sin over us. And one day we will be free from the presence of sin and all its consequences. Which takes us to our final reason to have hope. Number six, our future is guaranteed. Our future is guaranteed. It is possible that over the coming weeks and months, some of us will die. We hope and pray that's not the case, but as the Prime Minister has already warned us, it's possible. But Easter Sunday, in a few weeks' time, will remind us that for those who trust in Christ and follow him, death is not the end. In fact, it's just the beginning. Just as we're convinced that Jesus rose again from the dead, and anyone who looks at the historical evidence for the resurrection seriously comes to that conclusion. Just as we're convinced of that, so we are convinced that all who believe in him will be raised with him. Our future is guaranteed. So much so that, as we saw a few weeks ago in John chapter 5, verse 24, those who believe in Jesus have already crossed over from death to eternal life. And that's not all. The future is glorious. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans, "The whole creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Romans chapter 8, 19 to 21. Whatever happens over the next few weeks, we can rejoice in this. A day is coming when this broken, cursed, damaged, diseased world will be renewed. Sin and all its consequences will be history. And we will enjoy the freedom and glory of the children of God. The future is guaranteed. And if you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, you too can be part of this glorious future. Turn to Jesus today. Ask him to forgive your wrongdoing. Say you want to follow him from now on. And he will forgive you. Your greatest disease will be dealt with. Your future will be guaranteed. I urge you to do that today. So what have we seen? As Christians, there is no reason to despair. There are lots of reasons to have hope, confident hope. Of course, that doesn't mean we shouldn't take every precaution. We absolutely should. We should be listening to the government's advice on social distancing, self-isolating, personal hygiene, and so on. Christians are to be responsible citizens who obey the government and do everything they can to preserve life. So take every precaution. But as we do, we can have confident hope. We can pray. We can take every opportunity to grow in faith and fellowship and service. And we'll be thinking more about that, God willing, next Sunday. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that as Christians we have many reasons to have hope at this time. We pray that you would fill us with joy, fill us with an awareness of who you are and what you've done and what you are doing and what you will do. Amen.